Here's your Bracken members: Braden Gleason, Lacey Pickering, Nikita Lear, Caden Gasser, Landon Stevens, Joey Wolf, Rafael Flores, Caleb Hosier, Logan Smith. Now, here's your host, Coach Don Sony.
Welcome, Hoop fans, to the second episode of the Bracket U Fan Experience. And we're joined tonight, I'm your host, Coach Brian Tonsoni, and we're joined by Christian Sykes, Alabama fan and host of the Crimson Crossover podcast, is joining us to talk Alabama basketball, why he's a fan, and just general thoughts about this year and the NCAA tournament in general. Christian, welcome to the Fan Experience. Thanks for taking some time to talk some basketball with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to join you guys. Big fan of what you guys do, have been for a few years now.
So, talk about Alabama. How did you become an Alabama basketball fan in the first place, and what does that mean to you to watch? You just had a nice win, 92-88 overtime win, come from behind win, and then you join our show. So, how did you become a fan of the Crimson Tide basketball program?
Yeah, so I went to school at Alabama, graduated 2017, was there the last few years of Anthony Grant, obviously there the entire time for Avery Johnson. Unfortunately, I graduated again in 2017, so I didn't get to participate as being a student under the Nate Oates era, but obviously have been since he's been here. But as far as Alabama basketball, it was one of those forgotten sports for a long time on campus as far as students are concerned. I remember during the Grant era and the Avery Johnson era where you'd have maybe 500 students in the student section on a midweek game. The energy was very low. And obviously at the same time, football is king at Alabama. During my time there, Alabama played for two national championships, won one, obviously lost another one. And then the year after I left, they won another national championship. So it was one of those things where I felt like as a student, I had a real effect on the game as far as the crowd noise, getting into it, making people kind of fear coming into Coleman. And it was one of those things where I just kind of fell in love with it. And that's what kind of led us to start Crimson Crossover from that standpoint.
Now, you mentioned Coleman Coliseum. You were there as a student. Do you get back there often now that you've graduated? And then share with us what is so good when that place is happening and Alabama's playing well. What is Coleman Coliseum like?
Yeah, I've been back twice this year. Unfortunately, one of them was last weekend versus Tennessee. I will say, that experience was the most electric I've ever seen Coleman Coliseum in my time as being an Alabama fan. And I was also there for the Texas A&M game. I usually try to go down once a year, sometimes twice a year, depending on the results. As far as the atmosphere, I really need to credit a guy that passed away a few years ago, Cameron Luke Ratliff, also known as Fluff. He died due to complications because of COVID, and he kind of turned the tide, if you will, on the student section and kind of the fan environment, really got people to buy in on Alabama basketball. And since then, I think Alabama's only lost two games in the last two and a half years in Coleman. And what makes it so good is this Alabama fan base is a very passionate fan base. You can see that in Bryant-Denny Stadium with football. It's just learning basketball. And I think over the last 5 years that Nate Oates has been there, Alabama has grown and evolved as a fan base to really make Coleman hostile. I mean, even today, the overtime win over Arkansas, early in the game, there wasn't a lot of energy, but the crowd brought it at the end and kind of pushed the team over the hump to get the win in overtime.
I joined in on your spaces for just a second just to see what was going on and followed you on Twitter today. And you thought the team had a little bit of low energy to start and you were a little frustrated with how can they come out with that in this kind of game. But then that crowd, obviously, I believe crowds help. I know I'm a former high school basketball coach, and some coaches think it's all about the team, but you have a good energy in a building. I think it helps. And so do you think that played a part today in coming from the deficit and then winning in overtime? And what numbers now of students are in the student section?
Yeah, so I'll start with the numbers. It depends on the game. Today, since it was spring break, they actually cut back the student section because obviously there weren't going to be as many students. And I think they had 1,500 today. Normally, it's 2,500 to 3,000, I believe, as far as students. And as far as a crowd is concerned, I think there are times in games where crowds will try to will a team to victory. I think you saw that last weekend versus Tennessee. Obviously, it didn't happen, but just being in Coleman for that time, like Alabama fans were trying to make baskets go in down the stretch last 9 minutes. We were 1 of 14, and trying to make give the team the energy it needed to make those plays. Obviously, it didn't happen, but today that's kind of what has happened, and it's happened 4 or 5 times this season where Alabama's been down early in the game, especially at home, and you can just kind of feel the type of energy trying to will, they hit one basket and the crowd's going crazy, and it kind of gives the team a little bit more juice that they may not have had if the crowd was kind of quiet.
So Nate Oat shows up in 2019 and Alabama starts winning games, but they also play a style of basketball that a lot of people like to watch. I know there's always some question about defense, but on offense, they like to shoot the three ball and score some points. So your thoughts on Nate Oates? You graduated, as you said earlier, before Coach Oates got there, but he seems like he's got Alabama up and running and has a style of play that players like and I think fans like. And I know you guys want to probably play a little bit better defense at some point. But talk about the impact of Coach Oates on the fans, on the community, and on Alabama basketball just in general.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't give credit to Avery Johnson prior to Oates being there. He was the one that kind of put Alabama back on the map as far as recruiting is concerned. You get Kyra Lewis, who was the 13th overall pick that went to New Orleans, and then obviously Colin Sexton prior to that. Unfortunately, he might not have been the best X's and O's guy, but he really did put Alabama back on a national type of level. So I would definitely be remiss without mentioning him. But as far as Oates is concerned, the type of high flying, at the rim, dribble drive type of kick out threes that Oates has kind of been known for, it's an exciting style of basketball. It's an NBA type of system. And it's really enjoyable for the fans. Now, I will say, as far as the defensive woes are concerned, the 2 years that Alabama won the SEC championship back in 2020 and 2021, and then obviously last year, Alabama's had the number 3 ranked defense in the country, and they've had an ability to switch 1 through 5 or 1 through 4, which the two teams that haven't been, or the three, technically three teams, but the COVID year got stopped short. But the 2021-2022 season, and then this year, as far as the defensive woes are concerned, the issue has been length, in my opinion. That's kind of what the offense is, what the talking point is, because it's been so successful. It's on a historical level this year. But I really think the times that Alabama gets to the next level, so last year being the number 1 overall seed, 2 years ago being a top 2 seed, is when the defense is clicking. And unfortunately, it hasn't clicked this year, but still a dangerous team, and it's exciting to watch.
Well, I stand corrected overall under Nate Oates. So then this year, what I've heard is the defense. I didn't mean to put that over the whole time. But, defense is important. We've talked about it here with Indiana and Purdue and all of that. But Nate Oates has done a really outstanding job, I think, since going to Alabama. So you are a hoops fan. Do you have any superstitions? Are there any things that you do while you watch the game? I know you host spaces afterwards and then the podcast. So I know with our post game show, it forces me to take notes and pay attention and not so much just screaming and yelling. But do you have any particular ways that you watch Alabama basketball?
Well, so there's a few different things. One, I did some statistical like looking at the game. So my last four times I've been in Coleman Coliseum, Alabama shot 25% from three as a whole. They're 30 of 130 or something like that. So fans have told me that I'm not allowed back in Coleman. That's one. So I'm a pretty superstitious guy, but as far as watching it at home, I don't wear Alabama stuff when I'm watching it at home. I had a sweatshirt on, Alabama sweatshirt, but I took it off right before halftime because I was like, I can't be wearing Alabama stuff. In addition to that, it's kind of a running joke now, but my wife has in four or five games this season, we've been down early. And she has left the house, and every single time she has left the house, Alabama came back. Today, Alabama was down 15 points to Arkansas early, and she came out of the bedroom. She's like, "Hey, I'm leaving." And the moment she stepped foot out of the door, Alabama cut it to 6 points. So she's not allowed back in the house during basketball games. And then another thing that I like to do on Twitter, and it's more of like a reverse jinx type of thing. The moment that a team goes up, so it could be 2-0 with 19 minutes to go in the first half, I immediately tweet, "We lost." Just because like it's a little funny, but at the same time, it's a, like a superstition thing where it's like, oh, you know, if I say if we're negative the entire time, then if we come back and win, then I can be more excited than being disappointed.
That's awesome. We have that rule too. Not so much about leaving the house, but if someone comes down into this basement, which we call the man cave, and the game flips, we kick him right back out, or we don't want to upset the mojo when we're watching Indiana basketball if we're doing well on that. So if I'm coming down to Tuscaloosa for a basketball game or any kind of event, baseball's big in Alabama as well. As the football program, where do I go to get a nice cold beverage and a sandwich or a place to eat? I know there's, as in any college town, there's several places, but if you and Alabama fans watch this, where are you telling them to go or guess must go places?
Yeah, so I would say as far as like getting a, it depends on the type of beverage you want, right? If you're wanting an adult beverage, I say you go to Session. They have the best cocktails in Tuscaloosa. I know, or I know, but he's the former general manager. They have really good cocktails. They're all craft. As far as like, if you want to go to a bar and have a really good like bar scene, obviously I think you have to go to Innisfree. I think Kendall Jenner went there a couple weeks ago to do some type of promo for her whatever tequila that she owns or something. But I go down to Innisfree, and then I'd be remiss to say if you're going to Innisfree right across the street. So I'm wearing our sponsor shirt, but J&J apparel, any type of Alabama retro gear, go to J&J. But as far as food, I think you would have to go to like Dreamland or Archibald's. It's a competition for like best barbecue. So if you like barbecue, go to Dreamland or Archibald's. But that's kind of my recommendations. I usually stick to like Innisfree, or you can go to like the Palmas if you like Italian food, Avenue Pub if you like burgers, bunch of different spots that you could go to down in Tuscaloosa.
So, in your fandom of Alabama basketball, what is your favorite memory of Alabama being successful, or hopefully it was a success, but what's your favorite basketball memory?
Yeah, it's funny. My favorite one that I have in is probably the Colin Sexton buzzer beater versus Texas A&M. The big reason for that one, it always sticks out in my mind. And we had Chris Stewart, who's our Alabama radio guy, on last week on the podcast. But the real reason it sticks out in my mind is Alabama hadn't been to the NCAA tournament in, I don't even know, like 5 or 6 years prior to that. And I'm sitting at work watching the game because it was a midday game, I think on a Thursday. And if you remember, Alabama was a perennial bubble team for years prior to Nate Oates. And it felt like when Colin was here, like it was our first lottery pick we'd had in probably a decade. and it felt like a disappointing season. And obviously Alabama needed to win in the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. And you just see, like, there's like 3 seconds left, 4 seconds left in the game, and A&M allows Colin to just drive down the court and hit it. And I remember Chris Stewart on the radio call saying, you know, he got it. He got it. Colin Sexton has saved the season. And it's just one of those things like that, that you, it's a core memory for me. And I wasn't even at Nashville. I wasn't even at the game, but I was just sitting there and just like, okay, like Alabama has finally gotten into the NCAA tournament. And then unfortunately ran into the buzzsaw that was Villanova that year, that had, I think, beat every single team in the tournament by double digits. So, but it still was a good season, I think.
How are you feeling about this year's teams overall? Like we said, they're on the 4 seed line, maybe can push up to a 3 seed line. I think they're pretty safe, even with the loss in the SEC tournament. I don't see them dropping down to the 5. I can't promise that, but they're in that range. How do you think the overall season has gone? You know, Mark Sears has had a nice season. Where do you see them going in the tournament, and how do you feel overall about Alabama basketball this year?
Well, for the season, I'll say this has been Nate Oates' best coaching job at Alabama. To have this team at 13-5, 21-10 going into postseason play, Alabama's played the second most difficult schedule in the SEC, only behind Vanderbilt, who I think is like 8-something in as far as overall record. So, all the other top 4 teams have played a bottom like 10 and below type of schedule. So I think that's kind of getting overlooked as far as people looking at the kind of season that Alabama has had. Obviously losing to Tennessee and losing to Florida like they did the last 2 out of 3 games, that kind of puts a sour taste in people's mouths. But I said coming into the season that if Alabama could finish 13-5 in the SEC and get to 20 or 21 wins, that'd be a successful season, and I'd be very happy with it. As far as the postseason type of run, Alabama is a very interesting team. One stat that one of our statisticians kind of pulled a few weeks ago is no team in the NCAA tournament has ever won a game in the NCAA tournament with a top 10 offense and a below 100 defense, which Alabama is within that realm. Which I think is kind of conducive to one of two things for Alabama. They're either probably going to be a early exit team, probably round of 64. A lot of people probably going to pick them for that 14-13, 5-12 type of upset. Or this is a team that can shoot the lights out and make a deep run in March. I don't think there's an in-between with this team. I think either they're going to, you know, go deep or, you know, bow out early. I think it's a high ceiling, low floor type of team for a March run.
We wouldn't be surprised to see him in that Sweet 16, Elite 8 kind of a place. And again, depending on where they're playing or how they're playing, and it's all matchups in overall in the NCAA tournament. So changing away from Alabama basketball just shortly, and we'll get back to the NCAA tournament a little bit. Big Justin Thomas fan on the pro golf. And obviously I got to ask you about what it's like to go to a football game. And where is the Alabama fan base with the change from Coach Saban to Coach DeBoer, who had a year here at Indiana with Michael Penix before he went out to Washington? Just a couple thoughts on that change and what it's like to go to a football game there at Bryant-Denny.
Well, first of all, I love golf. Last weekend, I got to meet Justin Thomas in Coleman. So unfortunately, I was not smart and didn't ask him to join our podcast because Justin's a huge Alabama basketball fan, like massive Alabama basketball fan. But I love Justin Thomas. I love watching pro golf. We go to my wife and I go to the Wells Fargo every single year because I'm in Charlotte. And we've been to – I was in Eastlake in 2018 when Tiger won on Sunday in the Tour Championship. I was at the PGA Championship when Phil won. So I'm a huge golf fan. So, I think he's actually leading right now or tied for the lead, in the Arnold Palmer. So, as far as football is concerned, it's a sad day when a legend retires from the game. And Nick Saban's irreplaceable. It's impossible to kind of mimic the type of run that he was on. But if I would have told you back in 2019 or 2018 when DeBoer was there with Nick Sheridan and David Ballou, who's our strength and conditioning, who was at Indiana, that those guys would be taking over for Nick Saban, you probably would have called me a madman.
Yeah.
But I do think it I don't want to say it's a good thing that Saban left, because it's never a good thing when a legend retires. But from what I've been able to tell, the type of energy that DeBoer and his younger staff have brought to Alabama. I think yesterday we had 70 recruits just watching spring practice, and the type of energy and excitement that the fan base kind of has for the change. It is welcome, because, and it sounds kind of crazy, but as an Alabama football fan, or Alabama fan, it kind of got boring watching us dominate every single team every single year. It really did. I know that sounds crazy, because most fan bases can't say that, but there are times where you'd be up 40 something to zero at like halftime, and it's like, this is just not, you just kind of sit there and enjoy it. We call it a Saban joyless murder ball as an Alabama fan. So I'm excited to see the change, have a different perspective with an offensive-minded coach instead of Nick Saban. And I think it's kind of re-energized the fan base. And I think last season for Alabama, that was probably one of the better seasons to be a fan, just because you didn't know going into the game whether or not you were going to win or lose, which that hasn't been the result for – years for Alabama, but I'm excited about the change.
That's an interesting take, and I'm jealous of you meeting Justin Thomas. He is my favorite golfer. I go over to the Memorial quite a bit over in Columbus. We've been the last 2 years. I got tickets this year, and I'm at Louisville at the PGA. I hope to follow Justin a little bit as well. And so let's get back to the NCAA tournament. What do you like about the NCAA tournament? I know you're going to obviously watch and track Alabama. Are you a type of fan that it's Alabama or nothing, or is it Alabama and you pick up a squad or two, whether it be a mid-major or another team that you like? How do you watch the NCAA tournament? And then is there a favorite moment in your lifetime of watching the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, so I'm definitely Alabama or nothing type of person. But year to year, depending on kind of the runs – like last year, I loved St. Peter's just because of the type of stuff that they were doing. I always like the smaller teams to go far. I think everyone does. It just is a nice rooting interest. As far as my favorite memory, the Villanova last second three. I forget what national championship. I think they were playing North Carolina.
16, I think.
I love that one. And then the Alex Reese three versus UCLA, that probably would have been the greatest moment in Alabama basketball history if we didn't crumble down the stretch in overtime. But I just loved I think my favorite tournament memory was the COVID year. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Indianapolis, and just the type of environment that was there during that type of shortened or shrunk type of crowd. You had every single fan base there. And so you would go to a bar and see a guy one day, and then the next day he'd be at the same bar as you, and being able to kind of converse and just be able to talk hoops. It was one of those experiences that I know that the pandemic sucked and all of that, but I don't think that's something that happens without the pandemic, and was kind of grateful for that and got to spend time with 30 so Alabama fans every single day. Was very fortunate, and obviously had a good time there.
I'm going to ask everyone, and when we pick up the fan experience, if I do a couple more this year, and I told you off air that we're probably going to do this a lot next year. The expansion talk with the NCAA tournament. You follow the basketball. You do a podcast. Your thoughts on expansion in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you look this year with the bubble, right? Bubble's very weak this year. It's going to be difficult to pick the teams, the final 68 teams on that back half, you know, first four out, last four in, type of, and I don't want to say it would dilute the product, because I think in basketball, which not like football, I think any team can win on a given day in basketball. I mean, we saw it last year, with Purdue going down, and then the year that Virginia went down to a 16 seed, UMBC. But I don't want to dilute something that is already so successful. I don't think it's needed, but I do think it's probably going to end up happening with the SEC, Big Ten type of talks with the NCAA about wanting more profit share. I think expanding that allows teams like an Ole Miss or a Mississippi State or a Texas A&M, got teams that aren't on the bubble or maybe just off of it, are firmly in the field, and it gets more profit share to the bigger schools. I don't think it's one of those things that's going to help smaller schools get in. I think it's one of those things that's going to help bigger schools, Power Five teams get in. And I think that's kind of the prevailing thought for why they want to expand.
Final question here. How did you find Delphi Bracketology, and what do you think about what we do? Not looking for a shameless plug, but just, it's been crazy for us, and I'm just trying to get the feel for high school kids doing bracketology.
First of all, I want to say, if I was in high school and this was an option, I would have been all over it. How I found it was, you know, I joined Twitter, I think back in like 2012 or 2013, and with Alabama being a perennial bubble team, we had to find bracketology, because there's no way of knowing whether or not we were going to be on the bubble or off the bubble or whatever. I mean, there was years where Alabama would be like firmly in the field going into February and then lose like five or six games out of like seven or something and be on the bubble. And then we always had to watch the mid-major Arch Madness, like make sure that there was no upsets, like High Point losing today. That would be like devastating to our bubble chances just because of how it. And so, you know, because of that, I had to go find bracketology, and Delphi is one of the best out there. I love the work that you guys do. And it's just so interesting because, one, you guys update it so regularly. And then two, like from an interaction standpoint, if I ever had a question about like, hey, what's Alabama doing on this? Or, hey, like, what does Alabama need to, like, there's some bracketologists that just like Lenardi, for example, he's not going to really respond to messages, right? Jerry Palm, they're not going to really respond to messages, but like, you guys, I think I've asked questions before and you just interacted, and you guys are generally pretty accurate. So no reason not to follow one of the most accurate bracketology sites
out
there.
Thank you very much. It's been great to help young people get on podcasts. We have an internet TV show. We go to a studio, and it's just nice to experience that with young people as an educator, to share that. It's great for this guy as a college basketball fan to meet people like you, to interact as well. So we do appreciate you following us, and we appreciate you joining us. And any last thoughts as we end the Alabama fan experience here on Bracket U?
Yeah, I hope our defense can figure it out in March. that's the big thing. But like I said, I'm a big fan of you guys and appreciate you guys having me on.
So let's roll Tide. I don't normally say that, but I will today. Let's hope you find defense for about six or seven games in a row. But Christian, thank you very much. We wish you nothing but the best. You've been listening to Bracket U, the Alabama fan experience. You can find all our work on DelphiBracketology.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We will answer your questions. Our handle is at DelphiBrackets. So for Christian Sykes, I'm Coach Tonsoni. Thank you for listening.